It's a bonus episode here on a Tuesday on Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Make sure to follow Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get podcasts for episodes every day, Monday through Friday. I joined Brendan Kleen on Locked On Suns to preview tonight's game. We break down the key matchups, discuss if Chris Paul should join Steph Curry on the All-NBA first team, and look ahead to a potential playoff matchup between the two teams. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. It's time to get in on Locker Room, the live audio-only sports talk platform where you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. As you know, I've been using Locker Room this season to record this podcast several times a week. It's sort of like an old-school sports radio call-in show, but easier than ever to join, hang out, and talk. Locker Room is a free, audio-only social media platform for sports fans. Start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, and I'll be hosting rooms several times a week to make sure to keep those notifications on and come on through. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter account, and join the Warriors or NBA group. Then follow me at WC Goldberg to be notified when my room goes live. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Support for today's show also comes from Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all of the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's RockAuto.com.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer, joining me now. Wes, we've had a lot of talk about this play-in game, the Lakers' involvement, and I right before I logged in with you, reports that the Warriors are really embracing the play-in game. So they are definitely going to be getting some eyeballs, but the Suns do play them on Tuesday night. Folks will be listening to this on Tuesday morning to get ready for the game. So what should we know about this team? Obviously, the Steph Curry show has probably been what most people are taking in from Golden State, but we haven't seen the Warriors in Phoenix in quite a while. So what should fans be on the lookout for?
You know, Steve Kerr kind of defined this team in an interesting way, maybe without meaning to, the other night, saying that Steph, as good as Steph Curry has been offensively, and I think everybody understands how good he's been. I mean, he's the leader for the scoring title right now. The numbers that he's putting up are as good as anything, if not better than anything he's ever put up. And this is a two-time MVP. But Steve said the other day, as good as Steph has been on offense, Draymond Green has been just as good defensively, and thinks that Draymond Green should be Defensive Player of the Year. Now, I don't think that you and I want to have that debate right now, but if that is the case, if Steph is the best offensive player in the league and Draymond is the best defensive player in the league, according to Steve Kerr, then that kind of means that the rest of this roster is not very good, because this is a team that has been hovering around 500 all season long. And that kind of, to me, defines this team, right? Like, they go as Steph goes on offense, as Draymond goes on defense, and it's when they win games, it's when that supporting cast steps up, and when they lose games, it's when that supporting cast does not step up. And we're talking about guys like Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre, who's been in and out of the lineup, and then after that, it's just a bunch of, it's like kind of a lot of guys that people may or may not have heard of: Jordan Poole, Kent Bazemore, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Kevon Looney. I mean, outside of that, there's just not a whole lot of depth on this team. And that has basically been how the Warriors have sunk or swim all season long.
It's fascinating to me. The thing that I've found myself looking at in the stats page for this team a few times over the course of the season and almost gasped every time is that Draymond Green is averaging almost 9 assists a game. It's really remarkable just statistically that he's able to do that. Similarly surprising when you look at this team is that the Warriors are 5th in defensive rating. So Kerr's kind of claim about Draymond might not be too far off, especially to your point, considering the relative lack of like what you would consider elite defensive talent around that. So that's a recipe we've seen before, right? You know, elite offensive player, and Steph is probably, even calling him elite is almost a disservice at times, but with that elite defense as well, that's a recipe to win games. And they've suddenly found themselves two games over 500 and in that 8 seed, and a team that the Suns could play in the first round if things break a certain way. So we'll get into that later on in the show, just imagining this potential playoff matchup. But what's been the best that you've seen teams contain Steph? Is there a rubric? Is there something we can look to? Because I know Suns fans will look at this matchup and think, okay, we have Mikal Bridges, you know, the home game right before the All-Star break, Mikal did a pretty decent job. Steph didn't, you know, explode the way that he can. But I also think there's the other side of like, you know, okay, it's also Steph Curry. So have you seen like a consistent pattern of when Steph quiets down, or is it just hope that he doesn't explode?
You know, what's funny is you would hope to have a guy like Mikal Bridges, like, you know, Jrue Holiday, like the, like Matisse Thybul, like those long limb guys in the past have been the kind of guys that have been able to contain Steph a little bit. You look at a guy like Lu Dort is sort of the kind of prototype of a guy who you would want to contain Steph. And yet Steph just dropped 49 points on him on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. It's just, it doesn't matter anymore who you use to guard Steph Curry. The only times you've ever seen him slow down is when he's just exhausted. There is so much on his plate. His usage rating is at an all-time high in the Steve Kerr era. He is having to do so much work to create each and every single shot this year, because there's just, there's nobody else that defenses are worried about. You are seeing consistently double teams, triple teams, quadruple teams. When he drives to the lane, all five guys collapse on him. And yet he's got this little floater game, these layup games. He's gotten so much stronger, something that we've talked about and written about extensively in the Bay Area. And there's just, at this point, he just seems inevitable. And I don't mean to speak in hyperbole, but it feels that way. The only times he's really slowed down is when he's just exhausted from doing all of that. And I think that's where Phoenix may have an advantage here, is because the Warriors play Monday night against the Jazz, a very good team, as we know. They'll be without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, so that might help things, but that's still a really good team. And the Warriors are playing on the second night of a back-to-back against Phoenix. And Phoenix kind of can double those efforts by putting Mikal Bridges on him, who is one of the best perimeter guards, defenders in the league. And so if there were a game, if you were trying to find a way in which to outline the way in which Steph Curry could be slowed down, this would kind of be it, right? And so sure. I think Phoenix may have a little bit of an advantage here.
Yeah, if there's anything you can rely on Mikal to do, it's not necessarily that you're going to say he'll put the clamps on somebody as good as Curry, but you can rest assured that he's going to make things hard. And I think that's really the only thing you can ask for. So if that's Steph and the best that the Suns can maybe hope for there, I think we are coming off of a game here in Phoenix where the Lakers honestly had a pretty similar game plan, which was, let's have our guy, which in this case was Anthony Davis with LeBron out, do mostly everything on offense for us, and then, you know, really sell out to stop what Phoenix does offensively. We saw the Lakers send a lot of attention at Devin Booker, which has been a pretty tried and true strategy for Suns opponents all season. But I look at this Warriors roster, I don't see as obvious of a cast to do that. So how have the Warriors handled those elite wing players this season? Who tends to guard them, and what do they try to do to stop players like Devin Booker?
Well, first, the Warriors switch a decent amount, so that's certainly part of it. They like to switch, and when playing elite offensive players, elite wings, they will blitz a lot, right? A lot of double teams, a lot of help, a lot of things like that. It'll be Andrew Wiggins' assignment. That's what we're looking at. Andrew Wiggins has been Golden State's best one-on-one defender on perimeter players all year long. He's actually been pretty good at it. And, you know, I think he's got a decent chance against Devin Booker. I mean, he's done a really good job against some high scoring wings over the season. So that'll be the Warriors strategy. You'll have Draymond Green roaming and doing all the help stuff that he does. Still one of the best help defenders in the league. So that'll be part of the plan there. And then they've usually used to kind of keep going with the matchups here. They've been okay with Steph matching up against his position. So I expect him to guard Chris Paul, at least to start the game. And so with Steph guarding Chris Paul, that frees up Andrew Wiggins to guard Devin Booker.
I kind of thought it would be Curry on Paul. And I mean, the reality is, like, in some ways you don't want your best offensive player to have to defend Chris Paul, but it's not because of anything that he's doing. It's mostly just, you don't want them to have to defend the pick and roll so much. The Warriors just don't have necessarily a better option. And they do switch so much that it's not going to get into a dicey level of like energy and exertion just to do that. So that should be fun. I mean, we've seen those guys go back and forth, but this game is big enough for the Suns to try to keep their one seed hopes alive that I do think we'll see a pretty riled up version of this team. They tend to bounce back pretty well after losses. So I'm feeling like the Suns should be able to take care of business. I imagine they will be favored in the game with the Warriors coming off this back-to-back and the Suns just being the better team all season. But I have a couple Suns questions for you related to the team that you cover, and it starts with all NBA. So we'll get into that right after a quick break. All right, back here with Wes Goldberg. And Wes, I wanted to, like I said, ask you about all NBA because we're getting down to the wire here. I think Steph, to me, is a pretty much lock for the first team. But I do hear some people, you know, Chris Paul has gotten some MVP arguments. I haven't really been one to be making those. But do you think that Curry is definitively above Chris Paul in that sort of hierarchy? How do you feel about their seasons? Because it is pretty much polar opposites in terms of, you know, winning team, but lower stats versus less successful team and just incredible stats.
Yeah, I think Steph is pretty much the number one guard this year. And so considering that everything that he's done, considering that I think voters are going to say, you know what, he's putting up MVP type numbers, but he's not playing for an MVP type team. And so they'll award him with a spot on the first team all NBA. Not that he doesn't deserve it, but I feel like that's sort of the logic that voters tend to make, you know what I mean? And so I think Steph is pretty much the number one guard, and then Chris Paul is in that next, and Steph is on the tier unto himself, and I think that there's a next tier of Luka Doncic, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, those kinds of guys, and that's probably where Chris Paul falls in. So he might end up on the first team next to Steph, especially now, I guess, because you can make Luka a forward, I guess, is from what I'm hearing. And if that's
Devin Booker a forward too, apparently.
Can you really?
Yeah, I heard a couple people. The SI open floor guys were ridiculing that Booker could be a forward. I don't understand that at all. But I do agree with you generally. I was sort of playing devil's advocate to see if you bit on that. I am on the same page as you though. I don't think really anybody can hold a candle to Curry's season right now. And I personally feel like Chris Paul's best case scenario for him would be the second spot on that first team. But more likely it might even be a second team situation. I do, like, you're right. I feel like all NBA tends to be talked about sort of as, like, you know how in the NFL it's like MVP and then the most fun guy who had the coolest season gets like offensive player of the year. It feels like it's that with MVP versus all NBA in basketball, where you just see a Curry, a Lillard, those guys, Beal, get rewarded here like they would not in any other really award race.
Has Chris Paul been one of the best five players this year?
I don't, that's the thing. I actually kind of get the case for MVP, a top five MVP vote for him, more than I do a first team spot all NBA, because I just think, like, statistically he's just not really there with a lot of these guys.
I think you've got four guys like penned in on the first team. And that's, to me, Steph, Luka, Giannis, Jokic. And what you do with that fifth spot is kind of interesting, because I guess Joel Embiid can be voted in as a forward. If Chris Paul can be, or Luka can be voted in as a forward, you can put him in one of those forward spots and put Chris Paul into that second vacant guard spot. Mm-hmm. You could Zion Williamson, I had on my first team, but this injury kind of messes with that a little bit. LeBron, Kawhi have missed a lot of games. Jimmy Butler, I think, has made a case recently for even potentially a spot on the first team, and even though I think is a little bit short of that. So to me, I'm sort of between the Embiid and Chris Paul as far as my top five guys.
And, so you have Paul above Lillard and Luka, though.
I have Chris Paul. I have Luka above Chris Paul, but okay, I have Luka pretty much in there. But he can be, like I said, he could be a forward. And a lot of people have been complaining about like this positional weirdness. Like, dude, it is what it is. And if this gives us an opportunity to put the best five guys, like if Luka can be voted in as a forward and Jokic can be voted in as a forward or Embiid can be, then if that gets the best five guys on the top on the All-NBA first team and the best 15 guys making the All-NBA, then I have less of a problem with it than everybody else. I understand it's confusing, but you know what? Sometimes the way the sausage is made isn't all that pretty. And if you can get the best 15 guys on the All-NBA team, then I don't care about what process it is or what positions they are. Like, no, like 5 years from now, nobody's going to be like, wow, Embiid made first team as a forward. That's weird. No, they're going to say Embiid made first team All-NBA. And that sounds about right for this kind of season.
It sounds to me, it feels to me like the way I've heard this get talked about, it feels like the first year of a thing type of conversation where it's really just because it's new. It's because we have never voted this way. We don't know how to talk about it. We don't understand. And then, like you said, you look back in hindsight, I'm sure in 5-10 years, as this stuff continues to probably where it's headed, is that there really aren't going to be positions. And then you'll just look back and be like, oh yeah, that was the first year that they stopped doing the positional stuff. And then it won't be odd at all to anybody. But yeah, I'm interested to see where Chris Paul lands. I'm also interested to see where Devin Booker, if he can sneak into the third team. I feel a little bit pessimistic about that, unfortunately. Yeah. I think most people will look at that, the season he's had, and actually the fact that the stats have gone down and ding him a little bit there. And we've already heard the narrative of, oh, the Suns improved because of Chris Paul. And that tends to be the thing that can lead to another guy getting less credit. And so I don't know where we'll land on that. But before we get out of this segment, I wanted to ask you too. We have not talked to anybody in Warriors land since before the season, and Kelly Oubre is hurt now, but had a very Kelly Oubre season from what I gathered. What was his year like, and how do you feel like the Warriors are thinking about his future and whether it might be in the Bay Area?
If you just copy and pasted last year for Kelly Oubre to this year for him in Golden State, you pretty much get the same season, right? Where he's playing for you and you're like, oh wow, like those are some pretty good scoring numbers. He gives you a lot of energy. Like you love the effort that he gives on defense, and some of these the tip in dunks and all this stuff that he does is very exciting. The outfits on the sideline. I look forward to Kelly Oubre. I've always been an Oubre guy, by the way. I've always loved watching him play. He's just fun to watch. I almost like it more when he's injured because of the outfits that he wears on the bench. They're just like incredible. So I just,
sure, you know, he doesn't.
It's style inspo. It's great for me. But as soon as he went down with this wrist injury, he went down for 5 games, came back for 5 or 6 games, re-injured that wrist, and now he's out indefinitely. He's going to be reevaluated at the end of this week, but very unlikely that he returns by the end of the regular season, I think. The Warriors kind of magically were better when he's not playing, right? Which kind of, it's very reminiscent of what the Suns did in the bubble, kind of going on that 8-0 run before that playoff started. The Warriors are having their best stretch of the season. I'm not saying it's because Kelly Oubre is injured, just like it wasn't because Kelly Oubre was injured last year for Phoenix, but it lines up and the blueprint is there that they have found, I think, a blueprint without Kelly Oubre that they could try to mimic next year with some offseason moves and stuff like that. So very, very similar, I think, to what Suns fans saw last year.
Yeah. I unfortunately think that's going to be the mark on him until he finds a more efficient way to impact winning. It's not that any of the skill, the athleticism and the talent level is not there. I was going to say it's not the skill. I think it is the skill. It's the ways to kind of intangibly impact things that he seems to not have had. I mean, the only time he really made a massive uptick on what the Suns were doing was the first year he got here. And it was because they added like a NBA level player for the first time in a while, and he brought their total from like 2 or 3 to 3 or 4. And other than that, you know, they've basically been neutral or worse when he's been on the floor. And so I do think it's unfortunate. I do like want the best for him. He's a cool guy. He has gotten better as an NBA player, but yeah. The injury is badly timed for sure. But like you said, it might be that he could come back in time for the playoffs. So this is a team the Suns kind of have to have one eye on as we get toward the end of the regular season. Let's talk about how these teams might match up in the postseason right after a quick break. Okay, quick thoughts here from Wes Goldberg and I about the potential first-round matchup. I mean, things currently, obviously the Suns have the 2 seed, as all of you will know, and then the Warriors are sitting at 8, tied in the loss column with Memphis. Memphis has played one less game than the Warriors have, and obviously we have to then play throughout the entire play-in to really determine how this will line up. But they are in that morass right now, Wes, so how are you feeling first off about the Warriors' chances of actually coming out of that play-in game? Because that's what they'll have to do first before they look at the Suns or anyone else.
If it's Lakers, it's hard to know, right? Because we don't know if LeBron or Anthony Davis are going to be playing, and even if they're playing, to what percentage they will be healthy. But if those guys are playing, I don't love the Warriors' chances. The thing is, with Steph Curry can go off and do his thing, but the Lakers are the kind of team that have given the Warriors problems, when healthy, that have given the Warriors problems this season. Just a lot of size that they could throw at the boards. They can end up out-rebounding the Warriors by 20, and that's not an exaggeration. The Warriors will give up a bunch of second-chance points, and the Lakers are very good in those second-chance point situations, so I just don't love that matchup for them. And I don't know that they, like, and as good as Andrew Wiggins has been, like we talked about before, I don't know, like, it's still LeBron. That's a tough matchup. So, And if he's playing, he's going to come after it. And if he's playing in that game, he's going to come after it in a way that it's like playoff LeBron, right? And we know that there's a difference between regular season and playoff LeBron. And so I don't love the Warriors' chances in that. Unfortunately for them, if they end up at that 8 spot and lose to the Lakers in the 7 spot, they'll have a second opportunity in that 9-10 game, which looks like it'll be Memphis and San Antonio at this point. And I love the Warriors' chances against either of those teams. So if that's the case and the Suns end up with the 1 seed and the Warriors lose the 7-8 game to the Lakers, win the 9-10 game against one of those other teams and end up as the 8th seed, then we'll still get a Phoenix and Golden State first round series.
Yeah, that to me feels like the most likely version of this, although now it's the Suns side of things that is holding that back from happening because Utah just has this complete they have an inside track for sure. They're up 2 games with 4 games to go. It's not looking good for the Suns. I definitely announced prematurely that I felt like the Suns were the 1 seed, and I have to walk that back. All my listeners can make fun of me as I deserve. But generally speaking, I don't feel like – we've talked about this Warriors team. You know, you've given me some insight, our fans some insight. I just still don't anticipate that anyone would really be too worried about them as a team, even if they did come out of the play-in tournament and make the real playoffs. Utah, Phoenix, the Clippers. I can't imagine the Warriors beating any of those teams. I've been saying this all along. There are some big names in that 7-8 situation right now, Wes, but Suns fans probably don't have much to worry about unless it's the Lakers.
No, I mean, like the Warriors, the whole reason to make the playoffs is just to get playoff experience for guys like Juan Toscano-Anderson and Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, like these guys who are going to be part of their core going forward. Because this is not a team right now that is a title contender, and the Suns fans and Jazz fans and Lakers, nobody should worry about this Warriors team outside of Steph and Draymond. There's not enough depth. They are too shaky to go win an entire playoff series. I don't care what sort of flames that Steph Curry is throwing. But if you can get 4 games, even if you get swept, if you can get 4 games of playoff experience for that supporting cast for next year, when you're trying to make a run for the title next season, when Klay Thompson comes back and whatever offseason moves they make, that's the reason you go all out for a playoff spot. You know you're going to lose. You might get swept. You might be a gentlemanly sweep if Steph scores 52 points on a night or something. I don't know. But, I don't think that – I mean, I'm already planning vacations for June. I don't anticipate the Warriors going very far.
Hey, Suns fans might actually be happy, or at least local Suns fans, because it might mean some Nico Mannion minutes, which will be nice as a return to his home. He gets to get some playoff run in there if there's some blowouts.
But okay.
But yeah, that's about where I am. And not to rub it in too much, I mean, this team got hell thrown at it. And the fact that they're here, like you said, is a testament to the greatness of their stars and some improvements by their young core. And it's an opportunity to grow. I mean, on the other hand, though, like playing a team that's a top five defense in the postseason is no joke. It would be pretty frustrating in terms of first round matchups. Like I'd at least say I would much rather see the Spurs if I'm the Suns than I would the Warriors, right? But all things considered, I don't imagine that there would be much of an upset alert. But you can follow him at WC Goldberg on Twitter. He covers the Warriors for the San Jose Bay Area Media Group. And the host of Locked On Warriors, host of Locked On NBA. Maybe we'll have you on by the time the playoffs do come around, if this matchup comes out of it, Wes. But thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You could send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Now get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for listening.